In a country with 1 billion Hindus and 300 million Muslims, I was surprised to actually meet somebody who claimed to be agnostic. "I'm not a religious person," he said. "In fact, God and I have a mutual agreement of non-interference. However," he told our group, "I do believe in sin. I believe in two sins. The sin of unfulfilled potential and the sin of avoidable suffering." He was a former state senator in the region of Hyderabad, and his work now is in reforming government, trying to make it more transparent, trying to make it more accountable, more honest, more helpful. "I work with institutions every day," he said, "but my heart is with individuals." Somebody wise and older in our group said, "You sure sound like a religious person." I want to use his insights to shape my message because I think there's a lot of truth to what he was saying. Two sins, the sin of unfulfilled potential and the sin of unnecessary suffering, avoidable suffering. In our tradition of faith, God made everyone equally. God made everyone in God's very image and therefore gifted and worthy. God blesses and God accompanies and God forgives and God cares for each one of us. Our calling, of course, is to follow as God leads and to bless as God blesses, to love as God loves, to try to make it a better world in some way as God's kingdom comes to earth. We never fully do that perfectly, of course. We all fail. We all fall short of that calling, but high is our calling. Isaiah 49, which Mike read just recently for you, is a word written to defeated Jews of the Babylonian exile. They were just glad to have survived that atrocity. They were hopeful to return to the Holy Land so they could be restored as a people and rebuild their temple. And really, they would have been happy just to do that. And Isaiah said, "No, that's not enough. Lift your vision to greater sights. Open your eyes to that which is possible. Dream big dreams. Just to survive, just to believe, just to be restored. This is too light a task," Isaiah says in this servant's song. "You are to be a light, extending God's salvation far beyond yourselves, even off to the coastlines, yea, to the ends of the earth." You and I sometimes are guilty, aren't we, of living just to make it through the day, of thinking only about ourselves and our community and those closest to us. Have we settled for a lesser vision? Have we looked too much inward when we're called to look outward to share that love and light and salvation with all the world? Surely the church must care about Georgia being third in the nation of those who are uninsured. Surely we must care as a people of faith that one out of four children in the United States does not know how to read or read well. In fact, if you look at illiteracy rates, there are two things that follow those. One is welfare and the other is prison. Unfulfilled potential. Surely God's people have to care about education and education for all people. Not just ours. One out of five children in America live in poverty. 43 million Americans live in poverty. Unfulfilled potential. One of the websites I consulted to find some of those statistics was titled, "Do Something." You can't do everything, but you can do something. In the case of America's civil rights, that something which needed to be done in Martin Luther King's day was not just to shine the light of equality and opportunity that needed to be shown in education and jobs and transportation and housing, but that light had to shine into a very divided and bitter society which had created caste structures and other prejudices. In the words of Dr. King, though, that fight was worth fighting, and that fight was one that would be won. "Darkness does not drive out darkness," he said. "Only light can drive out darkness." Let the light shine, said Isaiah. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can. God so loved the world, he sent his son. King said, I refuse to accept the view that we are tragically bound to a starless midnight of racism and war. I believe that truth and love will have the final word. You see, Isaiah had a bigger vision for those exiles. Isaiah said, it's time to dream bigger dreams and think bigger thoughts. You need to get past your survival, past your restoration, and take that message of God's love and light outward to bless all the world. Remember the call to Abraham in Genesis 12? I will bless you, and through you, all people shall be blessed. Logan Pearsall Smith famously said these words, which were shared at my grandfather's funeral service, to strive for an unattainable good, that alone is what gives life its meaning. And so, though I missed New Year's resolutions by 2 weeks, I'm still in that zone. I wonder if you and I have settled for less than such a high vision and calling. I wonder if you and I have let our vision be made smaller, and if we've settled for less than that which is possible, to live toward a greater cause, a bolder vision, a bigger hope. Set your sights, dream your dreams. Let your vision be as big as the planets. Let your love extend to those faraway coastlines, especially to those outcasts. Can you see them? Can you find them? The vulnerable, the weak, the hungry, the hurting, those unable to reach their full God-given potential. We have a political change that's happening in the country, and next week in the congregation with new officers. And 2017 opens a new opportunity. Challenges, to be sure, but opportunities are many. Let's not be so consumed with ourselves and our interior lives. Let's look outward at what's around us and think, what difference can we make for good in someone's life? No one can do all things, Mother Teresa said, but all of us can do something. The website calls us to do something. The sin of unfulfilled potential. So if you're looking for a reason to get out of bed in the morning, I'm just trying to suggest a few things that might motivate you. Can't take it all on, but there's something you can do, some difference you can make, some light, some life, some salvation you can extend. Impactful work. The second sin that Indian former senator mentioned is avoidable suffering. Just looking at the newspapers each day and listening to the news, watching it on TV and catching it through the websites, and there are stories of abuse and of illness, stories of hunger and stories of addiction, stories of violence and corruption. Is there something you can do to help alleviate avoidable suffering? The four-year-old on the trip, Dr. Nadella's son, Dr. Nadella, again, is that New Testament professor. His four-year-old said, Dad, I thought you were a doctor. He said, well, I am. I went to Union Seminary, and that's where I got my PhD. He said, well, if you're a doctor, why don't you make people feel better? Avoidable suffering. Dr. David Joy is a theologian in Bangalore, India. And he told us that having studied the church in all of its diversity, what its contemporary situation is, he says the church in India, in many of its forms and many traditions, the things that it's working on are human rights, social justice, education for children, a witness of faith to those in power, and the creation of a new community. You see, the church in India, because it's only 2.3% of the population, is looking outward. What does the church in America do? Don't we often look inward? Look outward and see what impact you can have on that child, on that family, on those neighbors, on that situation. He said young people in India are asking, what good is religion? What does it do? And what it does, he says, is the good. The good of working for the rights of women, the good of speaking out against the caste system, the good of striving for education, good education for all, the good of trying to provide health care for the sick, the good of caring for the planet. Many places we went, you couldn't see very well because there's a haze of smog over the cities, and a lot of people had to cover their mouths because of breathing difficulties. The good of caring for the planet. What's funny is you and I say in baptism we're washed of sin and we belong to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but there sure is plenty of sin to take on in our day, isn't there? The sin of unfulfilled potential, the sin of avoidable suffering. All of us can do something. In India, I learned about a community called Devadosas. And in short, you can Google that and learn more about it than I can tell you. But Devadosas are women who, through the centuries, have come to serve the needs of the Hindu temples. And by that, I mean the needs of the men who are priests at the Hindu temples. And you can imagine over time, as that system gets humanized and corrupted, those women give birth to children, and they're not sure which of the men fathered that child, and it's a problem in India that is officially illegal, but goes on. And the church is at work rescuing those girls out of that situation. The children who are born to those women struggle in many ways, and even though the church gets them into a quality education, they face their peers who make fun of them. "You can't tell me the name of your father," their peers tease them. "You don't know who your father is." And it bothers the girls. One pastor in the Church of South India who was doing a Christmas lesson with a group of these girls said he had focused on Matthew's gospel, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God to save us. And one girl afterwards confessed that they started to whisper among themselves, and this bothered the teacher. And he said, "What is it you're talking about? Is it something I've done? Is it something I've said? What is it?" And the girls are all talking one to another. And she said, "We decided amongst ourselves the next time we're at school and the next time the other children are picking on us, we will join hands with one another and we will say, Emmanuel is our father. Emmanuel is our father. Emmanuel is our father." None of us can do great things, but all of us can do a small thing if it's done with great love. And the second Sunday after Epiphany, Epiphany meaning the revelation, the light of God, not just for one people and place, but for all the world. And the second Sunday after Epiphany, let us be bold with our vision that God's love is for all the world. And we won't let that be diminished or made smaller. We will not accept a God who is only in favor of one race or one place or one nation or one culture or one language. Everybody matters to God. Ours is a faith which will not accept the caste system. Ours is a faith which say every person is a person of worth and dignity. In Christ there is no male or female. In Christ there is no slave or free. In Christ there is no Jew or Greek. We are one. It's still a radical message in the world. In Bangalore, we had the chance to visit a group working for peace and justice. It's called Vishtar. And we met a group of people, mostly Dalits, who had been the lowest, the untouchable of the caste structure, who had been given opportunities to learn and work. And they came together and learned new skills and claimed their worth. One of the women was a widow, apparently, though, of the upper class in the caste system. Widows in the Hindu culture are sort of pushed aside and treated poorly. But here in this new community, they gathered and they sang. Here's the song they sang to us. I think I scribbled down the notes and got it right. "We will build a new society with possibilities. Our society will have no castes. We will be a new community. Ours is a revolution of hope. We will join hands with anyone who works for justice and peace." That's the song the church in India is singing. May it be so in that place and for them. But may that be our song in this place, in our schools, in our hospitals, in our boardrooms, at Capitol buildings, in business deals, in courtrooms, even far off to the coastlands. Because you know what? God does not like it when there are people living with unfulfilled potential or in suffering that is avoidable. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.